Okay, well, we're just over a week out from the anniversary of 9/11, and we're getting a couple updates on two large memorials planned. The federal government announced this week it's reached a final agreement to purchase land for the Flight 93 National Memorial in southwestern Pennsylvania. Flight 93, of course, was the aircraft that crashed there in the fields after it was hijacked on September the 11th in 2001. We're joined now by Patrick White. His cousin, Louis Joseph Nackey II, was a passenger on Flight 93. Patrick is a land use attorney who was involved in the negotiations to purchase this land. And also, Carol O'Hara is with us. Her mother, Hilda Marson, was aboard Flight 93 as well. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Carol, you were part of the committee that did the first round of selections for designs. Your part of the committee actually narrowed it down to five choices of designs. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So what does the memorial now look like? What is it going to look like when it's finished?
Well, it's going to, we were presented with about 1,000 designs, and we chose five finalists, and then they were presented to a stage two jury who chose this final design. This particular design was chosen because it fits the landscape where the plane crashed. It kind of outlines the crash area, and it also, it seemed the most fitting design for that, part of the country and that area, and that because of the cost factors and all that. And
Carol, what do you think the message is for a Flight 93 memorial that would be distinct from, say, the memorial at the Pentagon or the one at Ground Zero that's being planned in New York?
Well, I think the distinction is that we wanted to honor the actions of the passengers and crew, and to make it clear that, they thwarted a further attack on our country. And although this design is not, specific to doing that, it's by a visitor center being in place, the story can be told, and that this design also includes that as part of the overall plan.
One thing that distinguishes it is that it seems as though you've had a lot less headbutting and red tape there in Pennsylvania than there's been in New York. You said that the process was relatively amicable. Patrick, you were involved in negotiations for the land itself. Why do you think things have gone forward so smoothly in Pennsylvania?
Well, I'd say that's because we've been very patient, and as well, we've been very persistent. Early on, we developed a planning framework, developed a general management plan, developed the resource assessment committee. So we've been very structured in the approach. We've been blessed to have some National Park Service staff that are really excellent at what they do and have really taken to this project and become part of what we call the Flight 93 family.
And Patrick, you're also going to be taking a motorcycle ride. You're going to leave Newark, New Jersey, and travel to San Francisco, arriving there on September 11th. What's the purpose of that ride?
Purpose is to complete the flight of United Airlines Flight 93 to raise awareness for the creation of the National Memorial, and probably most important at this juncture, since we're going to have groundbreaking on November 7th of this year, is to raise funds for the actual construction of the memorial itself. And this is phase one of the project, and so we're at a point where, as we go across the United States, we're going to be bringing those messages of awareness and fundraising and giving people as well an opportunity to put tributes on a traveling temporary memorial that's very much like that at the temporary memorial in Shanksville, so that they can themselves interface with not only us as family members, but also the idea that for people who can't travel the distance to the memorial, we're bringing it to them.
The memorial is going to cost $58 million. It's 2,200 acres. So does this, the size and the cost, I mean, does this large project end up in the end helping you with the grieving process of getting over what happened?
I think each day that is part of the onion that's peeled back, it's a different process and a different rate for each of the family members. I wouldn't say that in all instances participation is something that heals, but I believe that the memorial will. And so achieving its end is the key thing for us. And as far as that acreage, I keep hearing it, but I sent an email yesterday saying, can't we just get the right number out there? Isn't it actually that the park itself, rather than the buffering easements to protect the view,
okay.
The actual park itself is probably closer to 1600 to 1800.
Okay, that's still pretty large. Matthew Sherman is here. He's a reporter for WNYC Radio in New York. And Matthew, you've been listening to this conversation with the folks from Pennsylvania, and that sounds like a pretty amicable, smooth process there, and that's not what we're seeing here in New York.
That's true, although at the same time, at this point in the process in New York, hopefully we've all resolved our differences when it comes to the memorial part of it. And it's interesting to hear some of the numbers out there, $58 million, 2,200 acres for the Shanksville Memorial, or 1,600 as it may be. We're talking about a memorial in New York City that's going to cost 10 times that amount and yet be put on just 8 acres. So we're talking about a lot more money, a lot smaller space. A lot more
higher priced real estate.
Actually, the real estate was not the issue here in New York, because the government owned this property. It's taken so long to get to this point, and the construction is already underway. It's been underway for about 2 years. About 80% of it will be done and open on the 10th anniversary. The real problem has been raising that money. And simply the construction muscle to get this pit dug, the bathtub sealed, and all the other components that are going to be squeezed onto this site.
The bathtub is the engineering reference to the landfill that actually keeps
the
Hudson River out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Sherman, you've been covering this for our partner, the WNYC, since the beginning. So we've had a number of timelines change. They keep announcing a date at which certain things are going to be completed and then changing it and saying, well, this is our date when it's going to be completed. But the real date when it's reasonable for us to expect to be completed is actually 2 years later. So do we have any idea when we're going to see some results here?
Well, they really want to stick to this idea of opening the memorial on the 10th anniversary, opening, in this case, being 80% open.
Opening what?
The plaza. That is this 8-acre plaza. Most of it, except for one corner, will be open. Trees will be planted. The reflecting pools and the waterfalls that mark the footprints of the original Twin Towers, all that will be operating and open on the 10th anniversary. The museum will take another year, and some areas will be closed in the following months and years because of all that else is going on this site.
Well, let's hope the red tape is over in New York, as it seems to be in Pennsylvania. Matthew Sherman reports for our partner, WNYC, and we also were joined by Carol O'Hare and Patrick White out of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.